Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Deep Coughing and Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and I hope you're having a good day today. And I also hope that you were able to listen to our last week's broadcast when I interviewed a friend of mine, Steve Austin, on his upcoming books, Grace is Messy, which I'm a firm believer in the power of grace. And today I sort of want to share a little bit about that with you. You know, the Bible mentions a lot of great things. When we read about things about Paul and how Paul had a thorn in the flesh and how this began to become such an issue and such a problem. But what was it that God said in His Word? He looked at Paul and He said, "Look, my grace is sufficient for thee." So therefore, even in the midst of a situation, even in the midst of something that could have been possibly sin, that could have been possibly, anything, a weakness, it could have been a lust issue. It doesn't matter what it was, and yet we can analyze it, we can Hebrew and Greek it to death to try to figure out what it was. But at the end of the day, it's a mystery, because I believe God wanted us to understand and come to the realization that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter exactly what was Paul's thorn in the flesh. What matters more than anything is not actually overanalyzing a negative situation that happened to someone that we look at and we know is a great man of God. So it's not about the negative of what was his issue. What we should have looked at, or what we need to look at today, is the higher, greatest miracle that is performed, or that is demonstrated, that is activated, that is acknowledged, and that is presented to Paul during his thorn of the flesh, questioning before the Lord and trying to find an answer. And that was the miracle, or the power, that actually God says, "But my grace is sufficient for you." And I think sometimes the church tends to look at issues, and we tend to look more at the negative more than we do the positive. Let me give you a great example. If we look today, we read so much within Charisma Magazine, you know, so much negative things about, you know, fighting this with people, fighting that with people, you know, this nation does this, or this person does this, and even other articles we read and other different things where there's a lot of negativity and just more political, you know, politics more than anything. And through all of this, we need to start doing what the Scripture tells us to do. And that is what, like John, in the book of Revelation, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, what was the God showed him? Look, it's not even about your situation you're going through. You know, yes, I understand you're on an island. Yes, I know you're exiled there for being a follower and a servant of me. Yes, but the top thing that God wants us to grab a hold of is the miracle of God saying, "Come up hither." In other words, look, you cannot overanalyze the current situation. You've got to come up hither and come up to a high place in me that you can be able to see that in which is in the Spirit. And whether we can argue eschatology and say that deals with the things he saw was futuristic, and those were things that he saw then in the now moment, those were just maybe the activation of what goes on in the Spirit all the time. But either way, it doesn't matter. I think sometimes as human beings, especially those in the church, we tend to focus on the things that really are of non-importance. Because when we sit here and overanalyze the idea of what was Paul's thorn in the flesh, or what is right or wrong when it deals with the situation of, you know, gay marriage, or it deals with the situation of, you know, who brings forth cancer, or the situation of this or that, you know, is interracial marriage? You know, I remember back in the day when it was a big thing with, you know, is interracial marriage, is it right or wrong? And we look at all these things, and it doesn't mean that we bury our head in the sand to say, "You mean to tell me we should overlook all the areas and issues?" No. But what I'm saying is there's a higher call for Christians. There's a higher call for those who are true Christ followers, and those who tend to take the name of God without the transformational power of the divine nature, which means becoming the very nature, walking walking in the image and likeness of God. There's a difference between those who take on the very character, the very nature, and partake of His divine nature, know the awakening process has come into being for them, which is, I have been made in His image and His likeness, which means I should be like Him. There's a difference between that, and there's a lot of people in the church today who just have the name of Jesus. And those who have the name of Jesus are the ones that focus on the negative, that focus on the actual issues, trying to break them down and get more political to find out what is right and wrong. And right and wrong, once again, as we all know, does not come from God. It comes from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil that Adam partook of when he was in the Garden of Eden. And that was something that God did not want him to partake of, because it becomes at a place where we analyze and then we overanalyze the right and wrong, the negativity, the issues that really and truthfully do not give God glory. My question to you would be this. Does it really bring God glory when we get political to decide who's Republican or rebellion? Republican or Democrat? Or Democrat and rebellion? I didn't mean to even use that word. It's just that thing of, I think both parties are so rebellious against one another and so hypocritical to one another and hypocritical with themselves. Do you really think all of that brings God glory? No, not one bit of it, not one ounce of it. You know, do you think God decides that He looks down on us and says, I want you to walk in righteousness and give me glory by, you know, taking your time to figure out what party you belong to, or overanalyze the fact of getting involved in the natural aspects, you know, of the issues of black people, white people, you know, Middle East, or gay marriage, or all this crazy stuff, or overanalyze what is, you know, is this over here a sin that is greater than the other one, or is this area over here, you know, something that is a sin of a lesser. All of that does absolutely, positively, folks, nothing for God's kingdom. It does not bring us closer to the Lord. It does not give God more glory. All this stuff does is stir up strife. It stirs up, it doesn't stir up unity. It stirs up division. It stirs up stuff that, like the Bible mentions, the elements of this world will soon pass away. Everything that we deal with in the natural, folks, will pass away. None of it brings God glory. What brings our Father glory is when we decrease in our ideologies, our ridiculous doctrines we come up with, our statements of faith of what I believe and what I don't believe, our ridiculous views on politics, our craziness when it deals with getting involved in other people's lives instead of letting them work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, just like the Bible tells us. And yet what happens is we cross over because we love to stir up trouble. And the problem with most Christians is they love, especially in the charismatic move and even in the prophetic move, is they love to stir up trouble. My question is this: what if we truly did what Jesus did? What if we became the grace that is sufficient for people that we cannot figure out what is wrong? We cannot figure out exactly what the issue is. Is that not what we are commanded to do? Is look at the big picture, and the big picture is not about is this right or is this wrong, or are Democrats closer to the Lord, or are Republicans doing what God wants them to do, and I'm going to get involved in that political arena and get more in a natural political party than I would a spiritual kingdom of God, that God is beckoning me and calling me to die to yourself and quit walking by the elements of this world, and remember that this world, the things of this world, will pass away, and walking in that place of understanding that what is more important is that people, our grace, the grace of God upon us is sufficient. And that, my friend, brings God glory. When we begin to look at the bigger picture, the broader spectrum, so to say, and analyze the idea of what if we begin to walk by grace? What if we begin to walk by mercy? What if we begin to be and act like Jesus? The problem with many of us, we love war, We love being militant, we love the arguing, and we love the strife. And yet, you might say to yourself, well, I don't love arguing and strife. If you are more into having to figure out and analyze the system of this world, if you're over exuberant about fighting against Democrats or fighting against Republicans, if you move in the elements of this world, folks, whether you admit it or not, you love strife. And you love strife. And the Bible says that strife is like every evil work. Because of the fact we are, with the day that you accepted Jesus as your Savior, the day that you decided to say, I want to know what it's like to walk in a Christ-likeness, the day you accepted that, what you accepted was that your opinions and your ideas no longer matter. The way you feel about the system of this world that tried to kill you no longer matters. What matters is that you come into a place of walking in the mind of Christ. And what is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is a higher mind than yours. And I want to reiterate that again. The mind of Christ is a higher mind than yours. It's a mind that sees things, because it's the Christ mind, what I call the Christ consciousness. You can call it divine mind, you can call it the mind of Christ. It doesn't matter. Because in all three of these terminologies, it all boils down to one thing, and that is the mind of God. The mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ see things through who He is. And who is Jesus? Who is Jesus, folks? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When you took on the name of Jesus, you took on the likeness of God, the image of God, which means you took on the image of saying and decreeing and declaring that day that you accepted Him. As of this day, I will walk more like the likeness of a Prince of Peace. When you took on the name of Jesus, you decided that day you would take on no ideologies, no doctrines, no statements of your faith, of as far as coming from your perception of your belief, which perception comes and is built merely on the definitions of what you've been taught by peers, by people, by pastors, and everything else. And yet God looks and He says, I could care less about your statements. I could care less about your perception. I don't care anything about your ideas in the sense of understanding. You took on the nature of who I am. And the nature of who God was, Jesus was that He humbled Himself. The Bible says that Jesus humbled Himself. That Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Let me ask you an honest question. Is doing things good, does that represent marching in the streets to stir up strife and trouble and acting like you're defending God? Not at all. God, folks, does not need to be defended. If God needed to be defended, He is not entitled to have the title God, because God does not need to be defended. God does not need you to stand up for Him. God does not need you to rally for Him. God is God, and He can do it all by Himself. Remember, before time began, before you existed, there was nothing but God. God was fine with that. And guess what? Today, God is still fine with knowing that He's God. He's a big guy. He can handle Himself. And so through the aspect of taking on the name of Jesus, what we took on is that, God, I will now go about doing good. I will now go about healing all that were sick and oppressed, the devil, body, soul, and spirit. I will now go about, God, by walking as the image of the Prince of Peace. I will now go about, God, doing what You commanded us to do in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. The day You took on that image was the day You decided to stop being political. The day You took on the name of Jesus was the day that You decided to stop getting so involved in the systems of this world and the ideas of other people and what goes on in their household, you gave that up because you decided the day you took on Jesus, I will no longer be nosy. I will no longer get involved in other people's affairs. I will no longer get involved in this. I will, as of today, start walking in the very divine nature of who the Son of God is by being love, because God is love, by giving mercy away, the same that Jesus did with the adulterous woman. You know, one of the things I say all the time, and here's the thing that I realized from, you know, when I post things on Facebook and I post things on different things, and even my sermons, and most of the time my sermons does not involve any of the stuff we're talking about, but I always have a theme in my life, and the theme is I am not called to get involved in the political affairs of this world, because the moment I do, I lower myself from a divine nature point of view into the nature of the flesh, because the nature of the flesh loves a good war, loves a good fight, they love to bring a division, they love to speak about us versus them, but the kingdom of God, Jesus prayed the day before when he died, Jesus prayed, he said, Father, as we are one, God, make them one as we are one. Why? Because Jesus wanted unity, he wanted love, and he wanted peace. And many of us would say to ourselves, but I don't understand, I need to get involved because we've got to stand up for what's right in this nation, we've got to stand up for what's right in the world. Let me ask you an honest question, because you know in the bottom of your heart, you cannot back it up scripturally at all, especially with that of what Jesus said. The Bible makes it plain in the New Testament outside of Jesus. I think it was Paul that mentioned, you know, to honor the governmental powers that be above you. Honor those powers. Jesus made it plain, you know, when Caesar, one of the worst guys, many of you I've heard bash Obama, our president of the United States of America. Many of you I've heard come against Bush. I've heard many of you come against, you know, anyone and everyone that you feel is outside of your own ideologies. And you might say, no, it's not my ideas, it's my beliefs because the Bible says it. No, listen to me now. Because the question I would ask you is this. Who gives us the power to actually know what God knows, what God understands in the sense of what God speaks? Do you really understand the mind of God? Do you really understand the fullness of God? Because the moment you say to yourself, I understand God, I know God. Now there's a difference, like Paul said, about wanting to know God. We all want to know God. But when you come to the conclusion that you quote unquote know him and you know how he thinks, folks, you've crossed over a very dangerous, dangerous line, because you're dealing with a God of the universe that science itself cannot even fathom how this universe holds so many galaxies, and yet they can look in mere black darkness. I mean, this is discovered recently, that a telescope, the strongest telescope they had, can look as far as it possibly can into the universe and see mere blackness. And then they end up getting a stronger telescope, the strongest one ever, look in that same exact spot of the mere blackness that they could see with every other telescope. And yet all of a sudden it was able to press in just a little bit more, and they begin to view in the mere blackness of the universe, so extremely light years away from here. And in the blackness of that, they were able to discover thousands upon thousands of other galaxies. And so it blows the mind of science to figure out we don't even have an idea or a clue what this universe holds. And yet we as mere human beings decide to say we know God. And we know what God thinks and what God likes. And I'll tell you this as well. If you think that God would hold his entire being within a book of 66 books of the Bible, you're sadly mistaken. God is bigger than anything you can ever ask or think. His ways are so beyond our ways. His thoughts are so beyond our thoughts. The Bible makes it plain in the book of John, at the very end of the book. It makes it very, extremely plain that if it could be recorded out of everything that Jesus discussed and talked about, there would be no books that heaven could even hold. This earth could even hold. Out of all the things that he talked about, and yet you think you know God. Folks, let me tell you something. It's time that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God to come to the realization that when we decide that we know what God is and who God, what God loves, what God doesn't like, and then have the mere degrading of a God that is omniscient and omnipresent, degrading Him to a level to say, if God was on the earth, God would be Republican. If God was on the earth, God would be Democratic. If God was on the earth, He would be this. And yet we almost blaspheme and distort this amazing entity that we can't even fathom with our mind, that goes beyond gender and color and race, and yet of this nature that we call God, and yet we have the audacity to put Him into a menial, disgraceful party like the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, and yet we decide to make God into our small party-like mentality. Folks, listen to me now. We've got to grow up into maturity. We've got to remember you are not called to do the things that we see these people doing by making God a mere mortal to fight against these political issues on earth. Folks, please don't degrade God like that. Don't put God in some menial institute like that. Don't say, God, it only works in my denomination, or that we have the truth and no one else does. How dare us as a people decide to make that major judgment and say and speak from the mind of a God that we can't even understand the way He thinks, because He makes it plain, my thoughts are not, they do not line up with your thoughts. They're higher than the way you think. Folks, we've got to come to the realization to know I am called to a higher call, and a higher call does not get involved in some ridiculous scandal political arena. When God says, awakest thou who sleeps and slumbers, come up higher. If you want to know something, get into the grace mode and give humanity grace. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Get into the avenue of love, because God said, my loving kindness draws men to repentance. Your political stance, folks, for all the junk that you stand for, it doesn't matter. None of it is loving kindness. You know that in the bottom of your heart. You can justify it all day long, but it's not. At the end of the day, it is not loving kindness. It is not the compassion of God. If it was, then Jesus would have told the adulterous woman, He would have said, as of today, we're going to rally against those adulterous women. He never did. He never said, we're going to call it every prostitute and whore in the city, and we're going to have a law, and I want the people to vote that this will no longer be a pattern of this city. And when we find somebody who is an adulterous affair, we're going to cast them out of the city. Could you imagine the Almighty working in flesh and blood through His Son Jesus saying something so ridiculous that we say today? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that when Caesar, and let me tell you something, you might say to yourself, President Obama is horrible. You might say to yourself, President Bush was horrible. You might say President Clinton was horrible. But folks, you don't know bad until you know Caesar. You don't have an idea, or you don't have a clue of how bad and corrupt and horrible that Caesar was. But yet what's amazing is Jesus knew, I am not going to lower my standards to some systematic world. I'm going to rise above it, because that's not where my call is. He did not get involved at all, not one single bit, in the life of Caesar, because He knew, you don't rule over me, you don't reign over me, I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm going to say this, when it comes time to pay taxes, when the disciples ask Him, they said, go down to the water, and there you'll find the gold piece that's in the mouth of the fish, and that you're going to learn to pay. I'm going to teach you today. I'm going to teach you to pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar. In fact, Jesus taught His disciples how to respect and how to honor Caesar by giving to Caesar what truly belongs to him. Folks, that is how we are supposed to call, walk in this call, this life, and respond to life situations. That's how we do it. We do it by remember that we are not of this world. And when we begin to get involved in some cheap political thing, you cease at that moment to be the divine nature of Jesus. You cease in that moment to walk in the place of what Jesus would truly do. You cease from it automatically. And you begin to lower yourself into a nature of the flesh. The same nature that David said in Psalms that man at his very best is nothing more than a beast. You cease to exist in spirit in the sense of walking in the spirit format, and you begin to walk as a mere beast on earth. That's how bad it is when you operate by the systems of this world. Folks, it's time for us to grow up into sonship. Children are tossed to and fro by everyone of doctrine. And you know what? Aren't you tired of walking as a child? Aren't you tired of being thrown around in political arenas and someone forcing you to make a decision? Are you for this? Are you for that? You know what I tell people all the time? I say, I'm not for or against because none of this bothers me. I bless everything I come in contact with. I honor the life that Jesus has died for me, and I will continue to give grace, compassion, and mercy and love just like Jesus did. And that is what we're called to do. And therefore, truly, we can open up the heavens and allow that loving kindness to draw people to a place of shifting their mind to start thinking something else, which means repentance. Folks, we live in a day that we must change. We must grow up, and we must get our eyes off of those ridiculous, petty things around us and get our eyes focused on walking and being the heavens here on earth. It's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say to take on the kingdoms of this world and bring yourself lower to it. He says bring the kingdom of God here to planet earth. And how you do it is by being the kingdom to someone else. Being heaven to someone else. Even prophesying. Let's say, for example, what would God say? Many people have come to me and said, well, what do you think God would say about this issue? What do you think God would say about this horrible issue here in America? I would say, well, let's examine the situation. I would say, let's look what God said and through His amazing apostle, you know, Paul in the Bible. So if prophecy is God speaking on earth, let's see what God would say about earth. Well, let's see here. Paul in the New Testament, we're talking New Testament, and don't try to pull up old scriptures, folks, because all the old scriptures and all the old laws and covenants, every bit of that has to go through Jesus. Nothing ever, ever can ever be legally accessed outside of Jesus. None of it. Every bit of it must go through the love of God through Jesus, the blood of Jesus on the cross, every single bit of it. So before you decide to pull up some warfare scripture in the Old Testament, remember this. It has to go through the blood of Jesus first. Because if you pull it up outside of Jesus, you're doing nothing more than moving yourself in John chapter 10, where it talks about the thief cometh not to steal, kill, and destroy, but it talks about how many people enter into the sheepfold illegally. Some people bypass it. Because what that means is this. You have not entered into the sheepfold legally and gone through Jesus. You make your own avenue and you bypass Him and you begin to bring up that scripture into today's practice. And that's a bad, horrible slap in the face of Jesus, folks. It's a bad thing. You don't want to play that card and that role. And so if you look at what Apostle Paul said, saying to us as a New Testament believer to say, here's what God says now in the New Testament, here's the way our Father talks. And He says, prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Because even Paul, who struggled back and forth with grace, and struggled back and forth between grace and law, even knew the principle, even knew the idea that now the way God speaks through what we call prophecy, it's going to be exhorting, it's going to be encouraging, and it's going to bring comfort to everyone that hears the word of the Lord. And that is what we are commanded and called to do. So folks, today, please examine yourself. And if you can't come up with a New Testament scripture of something that Jesus, the Almighty Son of God, said to you and said about that situation, folks, re-examine yourself and remember it's time for us to start walking and being Jesus. We can't go in and out of Jesus as we want to. We have to stay in the vein of Christ and know that the blood of Jesus is what people and everything that we think and believe and practice must go through. And if you can't find it where Jesus said it, folks, you better stop what you're doing right now and move into the blood of the Son of the living God, because His grace, folks, is sufficient. Not just for you, because you're in the Us For No More cult, as I call it, with Christianity. No, not because you're God's favorite, not because you speak in tongues. God could care less about any of that stuff. What God cares about is, are you walking as Me in the earth? Because once again, when you walk as Jesus in the earth, you must be able to find something that Jesus did and begin to do that. And anything you see Jesus not doing, folks, don't play that card. Don't do it. And so this is the place of moving in the amazing presence of our God that we love today. Hey, I really hope you've enjoyed this broadcast. You know, I tell people all the time, I am such a lover of people and such a person of grace to people. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are, what you do, what you've done, or what you're going to do. We're all going to make mistakes. We are currently making mistakes, and we always have all made mistakes. But as sons of the Almighty God, guess what? We are not forgiven. We are living a lifestyle of forgiveness. It's not about God says, I forgive you right now. No, my whole entire lifestyle and your lifestyle, every moment, every second of the day, every millisecond of the day is a life of forgiveness. So therefore today, walk in that forgiveness, walk in the grace of God, the compassion and the mercy and the love of God, and be what Jesus called you to be. And know today that even though sometimes I might sound a little, you know, bold, you know, and blunt in my conversations here on the broadcast, always know how much we love you, the ministry, and how much my passion of boldness flows through such a message of love that you can awaken to that agape of God and move into that. That's where my passion and boldness comes in. By far not being mean or ugly, because there's not a mean bone in my body. It's nothing more about loving you to be the lover of the creation God created. So until our next broadcast, have an amazing day. Do not forget, folks, if you want to get into our brand new school, I'm talking right now, I'm talking like today, it's being relaunched out and released. If you want our brand new school called the School of the Prophetic Word, it is the absolute only and first school ever to our knowledge by any ministry that has been put out, that the entire school is not built around prophets, is not built around anything else, but it's built on nothing more than the prophetic word. We deal with the nucleus of the prophetic word, what to do when you get a prophetic word, where it takes you, how to entertain it, how to become it. We deal with everything about the power. I even deal with the definition behind the definition. You might say there's a definition behind the definition of a prophetic word. Absolutely. This course involves, I think, 13 or 14 CDs. It has a DVD with it. It has a book with it. Folks, this is an amazing course. I love this course. It's a four-week course, so I want you to get it now while it's on sale. Today it's being launched, so today is going to be one of the lowest prices you'll ever get it at. So go today to identitynetwork.net. You probably won't even see it on the website. So if you don't, call my office right now to order this brand new course, hot from the throne of God. And right now our number is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. God bless you. When you call, just say, hey, I just heard on the broadcast that Jeremy talked about the School of the Prophetic Word. I've got to get my hands on it. And they'll tell you more about it, and they'll go and take your payment order. And guess what? You might be the very first one to receive our course today. We sell hundreds of each and every course we put out. Hundreds. And so guess what? Today, be the first ones to be able to receive this fresh, hot, in-depth revelatory information that God has blessed me to give you. That's what I'm known for, folks. I'm known for whether it's a gifting, talent, anointing, whatever you want to call it, on the details of the nucleus of what a prophetic word does. That's what I'm known for. And so order the School of the Prophetic Word today, all right? God bless each and every one of you. Look forward to talking to you soon.